Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tuesday Tips for Parents of Teens here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers. And today we have the pleasure of having Neil from Neil Positivity. And I am so, so delighted because today we're going to be talking about deep stuff. We're going to be talking about the law of attraction. Now, you guys, I know that we talk a lot about psychology, about physiology, and today we've got someone who's going to be explaining to us in a language that we can understand easily and assimilate, right? The law of attraction. And I'm sure you're going to be giving us practical tips of how we can apply this law of attraction in our lives, so that we can live fulfilled lives. Because I suppose everyone, especially all you guys, because I know you're intentional parents, and that's why you usually come to this program, to these sessions, right? Whether you're listening to or on podcast, whether you're watching our beautiful faces, right? That's the reason you're here, because you're an intentional learner. And what I always say to you guys, I really honor you because you are a leader. And one thing I say all of the time is leaders are learners. So do not underestimate the time you're spending here. Again, I'm so, so thankful. And I want to introduce our guest today, a lovely, lovely, lovely expert guest. And Leo, would you like to just quickly pick on that and introduce yourself, please?
Thank you for that introduction, Angie. And Neil from neilpositivity.com. I guess I consider myself a law of attraction expert. I'm definitely an enthusiast. Mm-hmm. Long story short, I saw the movie The Secret and learned that the law of attraction existed in March of 2008. Mm-hmm. Obsessed over it. It became my entire life, and I retired 8 months later in November. That was 14 years ago. So ever since then, I've just been touring the world. Touring the country. Well, in the world too, virtually. Just interviewing people one at a time, trying to get all of their law of attraction tips and hints and secrets. And about a year ago, I had a brilliant idea to interview a bunch of people at a time. So I throw summits, law of attraction summits now. And basically it's like, selfishly, I grab all the tips from everyone, but then I share it, you know, with everyone and present these people in front of everyone. And we all learn and grow together. You know, like you always say, you know, the more you learn, the more you'll want to learn about it. And this is, it's the greatest thing ever. It's the ability to control your future. Who wouldn't want to know more about that?
Oh, so, so glad to have you here. As you're aware, we've got loads of parents here, and especially parents of teenagers wanting to know how they can be more intentional. Obviously, being intentional is an action word, and it requires for us to be conscious. So in your own words, would you just like to tell us, in your view, what is being intentional and why is it important?
Well, first of all, just so everybody knows that I'm not just talking just to talk. I have mm-hmm. a 20-year-old daughter who's in medical school. My 17-year-old son's about to graduate high school on the 26th of May. And I have a 4-year-old sitting in the other room reading right now. So I have some experience being a parent. As far as intentional, when you say that word, it makes me think about, I heard the statistic a long time ago. The average person, I think they said the average person speaks to their kids 7 seconds a day, their teenager. Mm-hmm. And that's like, hello, how was school, and good night. Basically the amount of seconds it takes me to say that. And then you get a generic answer of good, yes. And I heard that years ago and it just broke me. And I made sure that I wasn't that parent. I didn't speak to my father that much, but that was because he was working. And in his particular job, he was a cop. They forced him to do overtime almost every day. So he wasn't home. And so that statistic was definitely present in my household growing up, but it wasn't because You know, he just didn't want to. And I wanted to be the opposite of that. So intentionally being a part of your child's life, even if it means kind of bugging them every day. Like my son that's in high school now, he's a senior. And every day I ask him how school is. And every now and then he'll be like, why are you asking me that every day? It's the same answer. Nothing special happens. And it's, you know, I explain to him, it's about the dialogue. You need to know that I'm interested in your day. Mm-hmm. And you never know. You might tell me the littlest, corniest little story, but it may trigger something in me, mm-hmm. you know, that either makes me smile, makes me think about an old memory. Maybe I share that old memory with you, something you didn't know about me. It opens up a door, like, and everything's an olive branch. So when you say intention, set that intention to be a part of your child's life more than you are now. And if you're a great parent and you're in your child's life a lot, that's amazing. But guess what? We can always do better. And if you think back to when you were a child, there was no limit. There was no cap to how much you wanted your parents to show love towards you. So there is no limit. Even though your kids might push you away, that's what teenagers do. Push back, you know, make it funny, make it, you know, laugh, joke around. Those type of things really do shape the way your kids behave in their adult life. So key in on those things and be very intentional with everything you do, from spending time with them to the advice you give. Be very intentional. Don't just throw things out there.
Oh my goodness. I wanted you to say, I knew you, because you told me you had kids, but I love it when parents of teenagers and adolescents come here, because you guys know we're not just talking. And like when I talk, I'm not just talking research. I'm not just talking as an adolescent psychologist. I'm not just talking research, something I've read from books. I share with you kicks, like things that I get from my daughter, my teenage daughter, on a daily basis. And then to hear Neil talk about him intentionally asking his son, how was school today? Even if it's the same question, it's about consistency, consistency, consistency. It's about them knowing that you care. Even though you asked for that yesterday, something could have changed today. So that is so, so amazing. And I'm so delighted. And I'm sure most of us here, you probably are going to be thinking, do I get tired of asking my child how they were? And also, even if you think, like Neil, like what you said, he sometimes smiles and says, you asked me that yesterday, right? But they want to know that you care more than any other time. And as you guys have shared with you the research about teenage years, we think, because they don't want to talk to us, they don't want to be with us, and they don't want to do things with us, we think they don't need us. But research shows us, more than any other time in their developmental age, teenagers need us to connect with them at this time the most. And that's why when we don't connect, they will connect with whoever, anyone out there. And that's why, guys, we always say at this age, they are so vulnerable to exploitation, because this is a need. They have that need for connection. And if we do not intentionally connect with them, they'll get it from somewhere else. And we know not everyone has best interest for them. So let's be intentional. And I'm so, so grateful, Neil, you talked about that. I'm so, so grateful. Now, I want us to talk about when it comes to life and parenting especially, I want you to think about some of the beliefs some of the beliefs that parents have that actually disconnect us with our young people. So, you know, some things, for example, one of the examples I give is, a lot of people say, oh, you've got to be cruel to be kind. And I'm like, really? How can you teach someone to be kind by being cruel? And I know you're gonna be talking. I want you to address especially that when it comes to the law of attraction, because I want you to address such beliefs in the form of we attract that which is like what we mm-hmm. are or at the vibration that we are. Would you like to do that for us, please?
Yeah, I'm going to back up a little bit because I have to touch on this other point you were talking about first. Think of it like this. I've seen this situation happen a couple times. A kid says, oh man, I don't ever see my parents. And then another, his friend is like, oh, my dad asked me the same question every day. How was school every day? It's just annoying. And the other kid's like, well, consider yourself lucky. My parents don't care about me. I don't ever talk to them. And now that kid is, he's sitting with his friend, and you know, kids kind of see you as their enemy sometimes, teenagers.
Yeah.
He's talking about his enemy with his friend, and his friend is making you look good, you know, just off of that. And then that triggers something in your child that's like, wow, you know, I know it's a generic question that I brush off every day, but he would give anything to get that question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting it every day. And as a parent, you do have that point where you're like, I ask him every day. I get the same exact generic answer every day. You're not asking, at that point, you're not asking them for that answer. Mm-hmm. You're not asking them for the answer. You're asking them to show them that you care just as much today as you did yesterday, regardless of what's going on around you. Now, the second question you ask after that, which is very important,
mm-hmm.
because the first question is generic and it gets thrown out the window as something you just ask me every day. That's how the teenagers see it. That's mm-hmm. how some adults see it too. But when you go further, how was math class? I know you told me it was, you know, you guys did an experiment last month. Did you ever get your grade back from that? Now you're going deep. Now mm-hmm. you're diving into their territory. It's little things like that that earn you lifetime worth of respect.
Wow.
Now the cruelty of being, you have to be cruel to be cool. I grew up in the hood in New Jersey, Camden City, New Jersey. And one thing I noticed, and I've lived in predominantly white neighborhoods, and I've lived in predominantly black neighborhoods, and I've lived in a mix. One thing that I've really learned, the black neighborhoods I grew up in, all day they roasted each other.
Mm-hmm.
As in they were roasting or cracking on each other, they used to call it, basically making fun of each other. Mm-hmm. Look at your shoes. What are those? What kind of yeah. shirt is that?
Mm.
So being cruel to be cool. The entire day they're assaulting each other, verbally assaulting each other. Every outfit you have on, your shoes, your socks, don't trip walking down the hallway. You know, don't get caught scratching your nose or something like that. They're going to tear you apart for the next few weeks. And so that is some kind of stigma that is in certain neighborhoods. I've seen it hugely in predominantly black neighborhoods that I've grown up in. Whereas in the white neighborhoods, it wasn't like that at mm-hmm. all. You know, mm-hmm. it wasn't like all peaches and roses where they were just lifting each other up all day, but they weren't constantly trying to shoot each other down. And so that definitely needs to change because with the law of attraction, okay? And with the law of attraction, when someone tells you something, it sits. You might shake it off. You might not think about it, but every thought you have has a foundation like a house.
Mm-hmm.
And you could paint the walls as pretty as you want and put decorations up. But if the foundation is built on crap, the house is crap. Mm-hmm. And if this person has you feeling like your clothes or yourself or your looks or your thoughts aren't good enough, that attaches somewhere on that foundation and you take it with you. I'll give you a little example. If you're broke until next Thursday, no matter how positive you try to be, no matter how many positive YouTube videos or go to neopositivity.com and look at videos, no matter how positive you try to be, all of your thoughts are going to have the foundation of I'm broke all the way till next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a perfect example of that. So you have to be very careful of the atmospheres you put yourself in. Teenagers, if you're listening, you got to remove yourself from certain situations, certain people, grownups. If you're listening, you have to filter what kind of information is hitting your teenagers. You're still mm-hmm. your kids and they have a phone and they have easy access to YouTube. So they can pretty much learn anything. However, you can still block them from certain outside influences by getting in their minds,
mm-hmm.
letting them know, showing them you don't need to be looking at that. And that sounds hard because teenagers are just going to do what they do as rebels anyway. They're going to, oh, dad says don't do that. I'm going to go do that. Guess what? With the law of attraction, when I tell you, don't talk about fearing that negative thought or else it's going to happen. At that point, as a teenager or anybody, you think to yourself, well, I don't want to do it anyway. I don't want, because it's going to happen. I don't want that negative to happen. So your future is literally depending on whether you take my advice or not. So if you're a teenager or not, guess what? You keep thinking about that bad stuff. You keep thinking about money trouble. Your money's going to get worse. If I hit you with something like that, then you're going to change. So this is how I implement into my children. This isn't advice coming from dad. This is worldly advice. And then guess what? If they do the opposite and they let the negative thoughts play out and they let the negative scenarios happen and they let the stress happen in their chest and they feel bad and they figure out next week when stuff gets worse, that's when they're like, maybe dad was right. Maybe I don't need to be in this headspace. And so you got them listening without even trying. You got them listening because you're hitting them with worldly life information as opposed to don't hang out with Jacob. He's a bad influence. I don't like him. You know, there's different ways of coming at it. So definitely, definitely do your work to find ways to implement things into their minds so that it works when you're not there. Threatening isn't the way it used to be. Back when I was growing up, when I got threatened to get my butt whooped, that was everything. That was everything. You know, nowadays kids don't fear that. They got, you know, so it's different techniques and different ways to go about it, but you don't get to those different ways without thinking about it first, sitting back, thinking about it first. This is the work you're putting into your kids. 10 wow. minutes to think is an investment wow. into your children at this point.
Oh, wow. This brings me to this something that in the community we talk about, especially when it comes to words, the words that we use with our kids. And you gave an extremely great example of cutting people down. And I know some parents come from backgrounds that are very sarcastic, and I usually see, especially with the teenager's brain. Yeah, and you guys know we talk a lot about the development of our teenager's brain. Whatever you throw into them, especially when it's negative, right? It goes into there and becomes it develops what we call neuropaths, especially, and then they begin to feel like that, and that is who they believe they are. For example, if you're telling your kid that they don't know anything or they're never good at something, and those generalizations, because our young people are not yet at an age. For example, you can shout to me all you like that I'm a dog. I know I'm not a dog. But you shout that to your kid and they think now they're the dog. And unfortunately, sometimes what we call self-fulfilling prophecies are such that when you label your kid, whatever you've labeled them, they take the shape of it. Right? So it's very important for us to be careful and diligent with our words. Let's remember we are stewards of our kids. We are also stewards of words that come out of our mouth. Let our words be filled with love, whatever is of good, you know, whatever is of hope, whatever is of high thinking, whatever is of development. Let that be what comes out of your mouth, so that when you pour it onto your kid, you can expect growth and not constriction, or what we would call growth. Because honestly, in every of our time, there is life or death. So always ask yourself, and I I have to do that as well. And I'm sure you do that as well, Neil. Ask yourself. And that's what it, being intentional, that's what being a conscious parent is all about. Ask yourself, whatever I'm doing, it, am I being a conduit of love, of life, or am I being a constrictor of life? Because you can't be both at the same time. So I'm glad that you brought that up, right? So I want you to talk about a little bit about this. I can see thoughts become things, right? On you and everywhere. And for those of us who are listening, I can tell you, Neil from neilpositivity.com is all dressed up and all branded in thoughts become things, which is something that I'm really enjoying looking at because it's something I completely believe in. Even I believe it in a mystical way, but I also believe it in a scientific way because as scientists, we know that. Yeah, just listen to this, guys. I'm sure even those of us that did very basic physics, we all learned that energy is always moving into form. So, and if you imagine that your thoughts are energy at its highest vibrating form, remember, it's always moving into form. So at some point, if not stopped, it must become that thing that you have been seeing or that thing that you've been visualizing. So talk to us in terms of our parenting, in terms of our visioning for ourselves as parents and also visioning for our kids. Talk to us a little bit about thoughts becoming things.
Well, I want to back up a little bit. I always like to back up because you say such great things, and I want to capitalize on them. If you're trying to become a better parent, and I know a lot of stuff we're saying might be like, "Whoa, I'm not there yet." You can always start small. Let's say your child does something stupid, and let's say they take your car in the middle of the night and crash it into the tree right in your front yard. It's going to cost you.
Hold up.
Don't tell me that's happened to you. Don't tell me that.
I'm laughing because a friend of mine just came from telling me that. And she's probably watching here. And she's she's pulling her. And I said to her, "You are not alone."
Yeah, no, you see, that scenario was the first one I came up with. It hasn't happened to me, fortunately, but it's crazy how the law of attraction works. You know, we're here talking about exactly that. But no, let's say that I use that example because it's big. Now, for you to tell your kids, stupid. You didn't say they're stupid, but they're going to take it as you're stupid. Now, thing about that is you're stupid is you as a person are stupid. That lasts forever. And now their idol, the person they've idolized their whole life, even though they might not like you in that moment, is telling them that. Whereas that was a stupid idea. Mm-hmm. That was a stupid thing to do. I'm not encouraging you to use the word stupid, but if you're just going to take a stab at this and you're extremely pissed off, try to word it differently. This word it according to this incident. You made a bad, when I used to lock people up, I used to be a cop in New Jersey. I used to lock people up. I always told people, "You're not a bad person. You just made a bad decision today." That was what I wanted to leave them with. So just, hold on to that when you're in those moments with your kids. Another thing is, you guys know I got a 4-year-old. We were in a store, it was maybe a year ago. We were in a store and he wanted a toy, and I usually get him what he wants. We weren't going to stores that much because COVID. So when I said no, he was all upset. And I had to really take a step back and think about it. To him, he doesn't know about money or dollars or exchange. To him, everything here is up for grabs. He wants one and I'm denying him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't understand why. Everything's free. You brought me here to show me this. Why are you saying no now? So it's a different level. So it's more than just he wants everything, da, da, da. So that's just another example of going deeper. Remember how your kids think. As a 16-year-old, they've never dealt with adult problems. You don't know who they dealt with in school, be it a bully, a breakup, or a teacher that's just treating them like dirt. You don't know what's going on. Or they could be at their breaking point. You don't know. You know, so always try to remember those things when you're going. To touch on something you said at the end, any two things that vibrate in the same frequency will naturally pull towards each other. This is more of a law of attraction thing. As humans, we get to change our frequency with how we think. This desk, it's a certain frequency. That's a different density, structure, age, color than this wall or this stone. They are different. They vibrate on different frequencies, basically, than my arm. However, my thoughts can change frequencies.
That's right.
Any two things. So if my thoughts have my body vibrating at a frequency of this future, that future has to naturally pull towards me. Any two things that vibrate will naturally pull towards each other. And then you can picture a table with a bunch of coins out on it laid flat. Now you're the coin in the middle, and this new thought you have is a coin at the edge. You start vibrating at the same frequency and you start pulling towards each other. Well, all the coins between you are going to start to move and shift out of the way. Those are the phone calls. Those are the people talking about you. Next thing you know, you got that promotion. You're in the dealership getting that car. So that's kind of how we move. Thoughts become things. And once you can see it like that, you can teach your kids. This is huge for me. I call it watering seeds. I get my kids to picture a whole bunch of flower pots in front of them. And every thought you have per day, and this is exactly what you tell them, every thought you have, 60,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day, on average per person. Every single thought you have is like putting drops of water into different flower pots. Things I like about my spouse, things I don't like about my spouse, my school, my kids, you know, that post on Facebook. You're constantly putting drops of water, thoughts, into these flower pots. And majority wins. The flower pots that get the most nourishment.
That's right.
Grow. Where there once was nothing, it was just dirt. Now you got a plant in front of you, some ugly, some leaving you wondering, how did that get there? That's exactly how it get there. Your thought, which needs to be accompanied by emotion, because if you just think, I love life, I love life, I love life, you're not sending out a signal. But if you're smiling and you're like, I love life because I'm a pilot, I'm retired, I got money, my son's in the other room, I get to spend every day with him. See how the emotions accompanied? I just sent out a thought. A lot of people don't know this. When you have a thought, it travels down your spine and releases from your lower back. That energy wave then travels across the entire universe, not just Earth or the country you live in. Third law of motion demands that every action has an opposite and equal reaction, which means the universe has to do whatever it has to do to you to make that thought travel back to you opposite and be thought again, which is the equal reaction. So when you're thinking to yourself, I have money problems. When is this going to go away? Why has it got to be like this? Why has this person got to treat me like that? You are manifesting a future where you're going to say again, why has it got to be like that? I got money problems. So this is what you're good and put into your kids. If Billy's going to school and he's getting bullied, and which Billy is a kid that I do a segment on from Camden, New Jersey, he was going to school and he was getting bullied. And I asked him, what are you thinking about all day? Give me a walkthrough. And he told me while he was brushing his teeth, he was thinking about the bully, eating his breakfast, thinking about the bully, walking to school, thinking about the bully. Then he's in the hallway getting bullied and he's wondering why. Now you're going to word this however you need to word it. But first you need to instill it into your life. Then you can instill it into your kid's life.
That's right.
If you got someone like a four-year-old, like my child, my youngest, you get to experience something, a phenomenon, I'll say. And that is trying to teach someone about thoughts who doesn't know what a thought is. That's the real treat. That's what I've been working on for the past 4 years, in addition to this other stuff. But yeah, there's dozens of techniques. If you go to neopositivity.com, I have a subscription where I send out an email. It's free. I send out an email 5 days a week with a different mental exercise. I'll give you an example of one really, really good one, and I want you to use it today, Angie, as soon as you can.
Yes, please. We love that.
let's go for something that's out of the scope, something so far out of reach, seemingly like retirement. When I wanted to retire, my ego stepped in and said, you can't retire. When I tried to imagine myself retired, my ego stepped in and said, you're not retired. You know what it would take to retire? How many people retired at the age of 28? My ego would come in and beat me up with statistics and all this stuff. And it would not. And you got to think about it. At that point, what seat am I wearing? I try to think about retiring. It maybe lasts a half a second. And for the next 10 seconds, I'm thinking, I can't do that. What are the chances I do that? How many people have done that? I'm watering terrible seeds. Being counterproductive. But here's how you trick your ego. And this is what you're going to do all day, every day, and teach your kids to do this. Say to yourself, how would it feel to be retired?
Mm-hmm.
Now the ego has to sit back and let the subconscious answer that question honestly. It would feel amazing. It may only last a second or two before the ego kicks in and says, well, it's not going to happen. What are the chances? But guess what? For that second, you were watering that seed, vibrating at that frequency, pulling that thing towards you. And every second you spend there is getting you there. You get out of this what you put into it. You go in the gym and do 10 curls on the right arm, and walk out, how much healthier will you be?
Right.
Not that much healthier. So saying I'm rich 10 times and then walking away is not going to have you a millionaire by Tuesday. That's not how you work. You get out of this what you put in. So I suggest you put more and more and more, and then teach your kids to put more, because yours and their future depends on it. This is something that will make them listen to you, because their future depends on it, whether you're there or not, whether you're in the room or not. They're in these rules. People say, I'll start the law of attraction next week. No, you've been doing it your whole life. This is the things that you got to show them. And it'll make your connectivity with them so much better. I'm a walking billboard. I wear a shirt that says thoughts become things. Everyone who sees me everywhere I go thinks, he's a deep thinker. Mm-hmm. I know they're at least thinking that. And so this is what you're going to do for your kids. You're going to, when you're not around, they're going to have a way through.
Mm-hmm.
This is a gift. They're going to have a way through any situation. Bad breakup, money problems. Well, I know if I spend time there, it's going to get worse. Mm-hmm. I need to do whatever I got to do to spend time elsewhere. Then they go on YouTube and look at videos, motivation. They start to meditate, all that other stuff. But you first got to get them going.
Absolutely. And what I'm hearing you say is it starts from us. Because how can we model that which we are not? How can we model what we don't know? And especially for our kids who look up to us and who are so close to us, right? They will catch what we would possibly call the vibes more than what we tell them. It's who we are more than what we say to them that they assimilate as part of who they are. And what I liked was when you said about speaking to them, thoughts become things, you know, like saying to them, like, what are you thinking about? I like the example you gave about that young person that was being bullied. And it's something, especially when I'm working directly with young people, which is, and the reason I started working with parents is so that parents can understand how to work with their own kids, because you spend more time with your kids than I would spend time with your kids as a mentor, right? Mm-hmm. And you're there when you're cooking, you're there when you're calling them to come from hiding in their rooms, you're there, I'm not there. So it's what words are you using? What kind of thinking and what kind, like when you talked about the thinking about broke, I'm broke, I haven't got money. And then, you know, when you think, talk to them in language that they can understand. I know you guys are good. You can find these words. And I like to use the boomerang, right? When you think something, and like Neil said, it goes out into the whole, you know, into the whole world, and it will bring forth kindred, you know, like something that mm-hmm. is similar to that.
Like attracts like.
Absolutely. It will bring back that. So let's be very, very cautious. But this does not mean we live in fear. The reason we're talking about this, it's not so that we live in fear, but it's so that we awaken and say to ourselves, actually, because I'm aware of what I was thinking and what I've been thinking until now, think about it like this. If you've been listening to 101.2 FM and you don't like the music, it depresses you. It makes you, what do you need to do?
Change the station. Change the frequency. Change the frequency specifically.
Yeah, change the frequency. You and I and Neil and our kids, we have the ability to change that frequency. It's, you know, it's how the mechanics, how the radio waves work. It's the same way our thoughts work. Mm-hmm. Just change the frequency. I don't like this. I don't like what this makes me feel. I don't like
vibrate. Yeah. Vibrate at a different frequency. And this is why I use keywords like this, because once you hear me say vibrate, from now on, you're thinking, pull something towards me. Mm-hmm. So you're like, whoa, I was just thinking about something extremely negative, and I was pulling more negative towards me. Let me vibrate at a different frequency. I love that. That is so key. These are the things, teenagers and CEOs, two of the hardest people to teach the law of attraction to, I should say. And so you got to hit them with different ways. My kids, I tried implementing the law of attraction into them as much as I could. And I'm not going to say it failed. I'll say the better way to do it was to lead by example. With kids, that is huge. So mm-hmm. when something negative happens, I'll ask myself in front of them, man, what have I been thinking about a lot in the past couple of weeks that manifested this? And I'll be like, I was stressing that one day. I did let it get the best of me. And then they see me working it out. Mm-hmm. And they're like, all right. So when, and then they see me with the good stuff too. I'm like, what have I done in the past couple? Speak of the devil. Hey! my 4-year-old Amor is coming in to say hi. I'm doing a show, puppy. Go ahead, go play the game. I'm gonna come out in a little bit, okay? All right. All right, close the door for me. That is my 4-year-old. And you know what? He's a prime example.
This, like I say to you, this show is about love. And I know we've had my daughter come in and say, oh mom, you forgot to introduce yourself, you know. This is real life. This is authenticity here. And that's one of the really best things I love about our Tuesday tips for parents of teenagers. And it's nothing to be, it's nothing. You know, you didn't see Neil getting all flustered. Oh my God, the perfectionism is being disrupted. No, like I always say, we are growing and we are living, right? This is not about, our shows are never, just like parenting, just like life, it's never about perfectionism. It's about living and enjoying the moments, right?
I wanted to throw this out there. I named my son Amor. Amor means love in Spanish. And I wanted everyone who saw him or talked to him or spoke about him, I wanted love to be the first thing they thought.
Wow. Did you just hear what I said? This is about love. And when he appeared, I didn't even know that's what it meant.
Yes. I was wearing, I was going on an anesthesia once, and I always have a Superman necklace on. And I didn't at the time. I had one on, but it was my first one. And the lady was like, Superman. And every nurse that, you know, I could go through anesthesia, you see like 12 nurses. Everyone I saw was just like, Superman, Superman, Superman. Everybody kept. And I said, you know what? I want everyone to think Superman every time they look at me. You know, in the spirit of law of attraction and collective energy, I want that. And so I always have a Superman chain on now. And when I had him, I wanted to name him Love. So Amor is his name. And that's just a prime example of me learning things about the law of attraction and making sure I implement it into my children the best way I can. My oldest are older. They've learned a lot, but he is ripe for the molding.
I'm putting everything
I can into him.
I'm just gonna, now that you've mentioned about naming your kid, and guys, this is not about blame or shame, whether you've done it or not done it. It's about awareness. And it's about from now on, what can we do? It's not for us to go back and beat ourselves up for things that we haven't done. I remember when I was searching for a name for my daughter, and I was very, very intentional because I wanted to think, and finally we ended up naming her Gold. And she has a sort like precious, you know, but I didn't want it to just sound precious, you know, like it's overt, right? But it was gold, you know, like wisdom. Seek it like when you're seek it like gold, something precious. And and also the name is in Swahili. So she's not called Gold, she's called the Habu, but it's in Swahili, it's a Kenyan language. So it's that kind of thinking. So people always ask, oh, what does it mean? And I tell them, and she internalized that from when she was growing up, and it's part of herself, you know, her self-esteem, who she is. And it's a nice thing for us. And guys, especially for our teenagers, right? I like to say this. They do get a bit embarrassed, especially when they're older, when we praise them, but never cease praising them. Never stop praising them, because let me show you how
everybody loves praise.
Absolutely.
No matter how old you are and how much you get it, no one's going to be like, they might say stop, but they're just being modest. They're like, stop, keep it coming.
Absolutely. And this is how, you know, and you know, I used to talk about this, and some of my friends, I'm from the Christian background, and obviously here we serve all of us because we serve from the language of love.
And energy, baby. If you energy, you're a part of this.
And I said, and some of them would say, oh, you shouldn't do that. And I said to them, hold on a minute. There is a verse for the very religious ones. There is a verse in the Bible that says when Jesus was being baptized, I think by John the Baptist, there was a voice from the Father actually announced, this is my son of whom I'm very proud of. You guys talk about praise, right? From his own father, right? So if you've ever doubted, so it's not just a spiritual thing. It's also a very psychological thing. And we've done loads of experiments with praise, and it actually enhances growth in all ways. Anyway, so I'm excited talking about that. So.
Well, I want to touch on that real quick.
Yeah.
Make sure your children know from an early age, and make sure you tell them as often as you can that you're proud of them no matter what. Mm. There has to have a key no matter what. Now, I know a lot of people in the past have hit me with, well, you can't say no matter what, because then they don't think they have to try hard, or they didn't know. No. There's more on top of this. Okay. You raise them to compete against themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You don't want to be the next Justin Bieber. Be the perfect you.
That's right.
Beat your old high score. That's what you're going to go for. And when you couple those two together, you don't end up with a child that doesn't try. Mm-hmm. You know, you end up with a child that's trying to outdo themselves. And that's what you want.
Absolutely. And one of the things we talk about here a lot is respect and respect, especially respect. Not the respect we say, oh, hello and thank you and sorry. And that's not respect for self and respect for life. And when you understand that life is always expanding, life is always seeking to express itself more. So, like what Neo said, do not be afraid of praising your kid because of the fear that they will stop trying. When they understand who they are, that they are life itself. And what does life do? Life is always seeking fuller expansion, fuller expression. When they understand themselves as that, they will want to outdo who they were yesterday. And that is the best thing, some of the best gifts that we can give to our kids, because then they are focused on me doing better than I was yesterday. They are reined in. They're not concerned with competition, comparing, and all that. So they are focused on me. And again, some people fear, oh, they're going to be selfish. No. When you understand who you are and you understand yourself as life itself, you cannot be selfish. For example, look at myself and Neo here, right? We're having a co-creation, right? I'm not thinking, oh, he knows way better than I do. I don't think Neo is thinking, oh, she knows so way better. That's not what we're having, a conversation that
I hope you know more than me. That means I'm going to learn something. I'm banking on that.
We're having a co-creative conversation, a conversation that creates something bigger than ourselves. Right? That,
you know what? That's why I started doing summits, because me and you are going to exchange great ideas. And from this conversation, we're going to birth new ideas that we didn't even think about before. Now imagine if there were six of us together doing that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, beautiful. Big stuff. Right. As we come to the towards the end of this session, Neo, I want you to speak to our parents and talk about, we've talked about what they can do, and you've blessed me a lot with what I can do. As you can see, I'm a really big note taker, right?
Yeah, and I love
that. I want you to speak to us about some of the self-care activities that we can take as soon as today so that we can get transformation. Because what I say here is, and I encourage parents and myself, I have to challenge myself on a daily basis, is that I need to put the information that I have learned into action so we can get transformation. So what practical tips can you give to us today so that we can experience the change, the transformation that we need? Of course, I'm encouraging everyone right now. One of the practical tips that I want to encourage everyone today is, today, make sure you check Neo out at neopositivity.com, right? That's one of the things, right? Because it's about action. Because we can hear all the good things and we can think, oh my God, that was great. But when we don't do something about it, right, we don't actually experience the transformation. It's in the doing that we actually experience the transformation that we need. So I'm looking for a couple of self-care activities or tips that parents can implement as soon as today so that they can have some sort of transformation.
You know what? Actually, right here it says morning rituals. Come up with some kind of morning ritual. One thing I do, might make sure that when I'm getting up out of bed, I'm smiling. I don't care if it's fake smile. I'm smiling the whole time I'm getting up out of bed. That's something small. I have these counters that I use. I make sure I say 100 positive affirmations before I get out of bed. That's something, the morning ritual. It's pretty cool. Here's a, I use all digital counters, but this is just a normal one. You click it and it's just 3, 4. You know, say, I love life. I'm doing great. I love my kids. I love my wife. I love myself. I love my life. That's a great one. That's four. Those are morning rituals. Those really help in getting set in a tone for the day. They're great. If you want to dive, I'm going to give you the most important parts of the law of attraction right here. And one is presence. Get present. Wake up. Be aware. However you want to call it, research it, Google it, go to my website, find a book about it. Just wake up. And what I mean by wake up is when you're walking down the hallway or you're driving in traffic, you're having background thoughts about how you're going to handle this situation or that situation, what you're going to cook, or I got to pick up eggs on the way home. Whatever the situation is, wake up from all of that. Just to this moment, I'm here in this room. Sometimes I got to go like that so I can feel my hands. Like, okay, I'm here. That type of wake up is the key to everything. Okay. Because you could be stressing or thinking about something. And if you're able to wake up from that stress to this moment, then you could do a mental exercise, an affirmation. Say, what if I did? What if I do? What if this happened? Run different scenarios, but you first have to wake up. You first have to wake up. I'm going to give you a quick cheat code to anything. When I was having trouble meditating, when I first started for the first 16 days after I saw The Secret, first thing I went to, went online. I saw Oprah Winfrey talking about The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. She sleeps with that book next to her nightstand. It's right on my desk, as you can see. But meditation was huge. For the first 16 days I tried to meditate, it was torture. I was a cop in the most dangerous city in America. I'm running all kind of crazy scenarios, SWAT team, life, bills. It was just crazy to sit there and my mind would just go. And my cheat code was this. I remembered The Secret and they said, I'm so happy and thankful for, guess what? I'm so happy and thankful that I'm good at meditating. I'm so happy and thankful that I enjoy meditating. I'm so happy and thankful that meditation comes easy to me. That's the cheat code to anything. You could use that affirmation with anything.
Absolutely.
And you'll get it. And so I use that affirmation with waking up more often. So if I wake up more often, I can look right here on my wall. There's an ATM receipt for $3,660,000. I printed this out online and laminated it. This is a mental exercise. When I do wake up, I'm going to be so happy and thankful for this bank balance. So it's little things like that. Starting sentences with I am and I love. Those are great affirmations. And if you're going to make up an affirmation like I love life, make sure every single word in it feels good. Don't make it a paragraph long because the ego is going to find little ways to kick and punch you during that paragraph. So make it short like a phrase and make sure that if any of those words makes this little knot right here that goes up when you smile and goes down when you're like sad, that little knot, pay attention to it. If any of the words in your affirmation make this go down, change that word, change it up. Once you find the right affirmation, it's going to make you feel great. But guess what? You're going to change it. Things are going to change in your life. So don't feel weird about switching up affirmations all the time. You're doing this to help you. So waking up is key. Without that, you're not going to do any of this. You're not going to meditate. You're not going to do any affirmations. You're not going to do any mental exercises. So waking up is the very first key and number one thing. They call it the present because it's the present. And I want to share this ego thing with you real quick. The ego is just doing its job. The ego, that voice that tells you you're not good enough, you can't this, you can't that. All the ego's job is to do to bring you back to the current moment. When you start thinking about the future or the past, good or bad, the ego's job is to use the subconscious's data bank. The subconscious has stored everything you've ever seen. Everything you know about everything is stored in your subconscious. What you truly expect to happen next in your life is stored in your subconscious, which you cannot accept. We can't access that. You think you know what you truly expect deep down inside. It's buried in your subconscious. We can't access that outright, but your ego can. So when you're running the scenario about being in Disneyland and the ego says, you're not there, you know what it would take to get there. It's just trying to bring you back to this moment. When you're running a scenario about that car accident from 10 years ago, the ego says, that's not what's happening. And it wakes you up out of that. It just wants you here back at this moment. Why? Because the subconscious, your body doesn't acknowledge the future or the past. If you think about it, have you ever seen, touched, or tasted anything from your future or in your future? No. When you've seen, touched, and tasted it, it was happening in the current moment. The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. Same thing about the past, just memories of previous moments. Everything you've ever done and everything you will do will be in this seemingly reoccurring current moment. That's why the present is so important. That's why something wakes you up from every single thought you have. You kind of like wake up back to this moment. That's how important this moment is. So get there. Use the cheat code. I'm so happy and thankful. I wake up more often. And then when you wake up, do an affirmation. Teach this to your kids. And then once it works and you're like, holy crap, this works. I can do anything. Then you go to neopositivity.com and that's where you learn how to do everything. Everything. And subscribe to the newsletter and come to the summits and watch other people speak. I've been studying this and researching people for 14 years. I've done all the research so you don't have to. It's right there. It's all free. The summit is free. The subscription is free. The website is for free. I make sure everything is for free. So no one has any excuses for one. And for two, I know the 80 to 90% of the world that doesn't believe in the law of attraction or doesn't even know about it. They're going to say they don't have $1,000 or $500 to go to a self-help seminar. We need those numbers if we're going to change the world. We need that 80% of people if we're going to change the world. So that's my target. So I make sure everything's free right at neopositivity.com. Go check it out and catch us on the lives. I live stream all the time with different people, just sharing new information, breathing techniques, numerology, astrology, anything that is self-help, anything that will get your mind in a better space. It's me, you know, that's what I put together. So check that out. And thank you, Angie, for having me on. It was my honor. It was a great time kicking it with you today.
Thank you so much. I was like, yes, you go. Tell them exactly where to find you, because I tell you what, I want you guys to learn to seek wisdom, right? Learn to seek wisdom. And do you know that I look around? I don't bring just anyone in this show. I bring people who I research them. So it's not just anyone that jumps here. And I know that they're going to enrich you and empower you as a parent. Because when we become better leaders, we are able to lead ourselves. Then we are able to lead our young people. And what do we have? We have a generation that's growing up with the full self-awareness, full self-confidence, full great self-esteem, self-respect, self-responsibility, resilience. We talk about being radiant. We talk about being robust. And this is what you do when you empower yourselves. You end up modeling the same to your young people. So guys, you've heard that. And what I'm encouraging you today is don't just be a hearer of the words, of the information. I want you today to take action on the information so you can get the transformation. Because that's what we do here. That's what the community is about. That's what this movement is about. Self-leadership, which includes us learning from each other and then self-directing. And I'm so, so grateful that you're here listening to this. I so really honor you for your time, for especially investing in yourself. And I know because of this, your child, your teenager is going to benefit. And for me, this is what brings me the greatest joy, the greatest joy, because I know if I am working with myself and I'm working with my teenager, Neo is working on himself and working on his teenagers, you're working on yourself. And you're working on your teenagers when they meet online, because that's what our kids are doing, right?
My kid
on the click of a button can meet my friend in Japan or some other person. Then we know that they are thinking in the same expanded way, because we know what we've been talking about. So I am so, so grateful that you're here. And once again, guys, thank you. Have you got any last minute thoughts for us before we finish this?
You know what? I do have one thing. You need to be your own accountability partner. I gave you a morning ritual and some affirmations and stuff to do in the afternoon. But before you go to sleep, ask yourself, how many mental exercises have I done today? Just ask yourself that. If this is day one, your answer is probably going to be 4. If this is day 2, your answer is either going to be 1 or 0. That's usually how it goes. Don't be in that usual percentile. Do the work. If your answer is 4, think to yourself, 60 to 70,000 thoughts on average per day per person, and I made 4 of them positive. You got to go harder. You want different results. You got to go harder. Be your own accountability partner. And if you need one, hit me up. I'll be happy to remind you every day, because you'll be reminding me every day. Get on top of that.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much. So again, guys, take action on that information so you can get the transformation. Catch Neil at neilpositivity.com. He's going to remind you what to do on a daily basis. And that's good for kickstarting, even before you get into the flow, because most of us who are not in the habit of doing it may not come easily for us. So a simple daily reminder may be what we need. And it's okay. It's okay to be reminded. It's okay to be eased in gently before we start running by ourselves. So I am, again, so, so grateful and at the same time, really excited. And from all of us here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers on today's Tuesday Tips for Parents of Teens, we're encouraging you to take action on that information that you've heard today so you can get your own transformation, and so that you, parent of teenager, can raise highly effective teenagers without losing your mind. We'll see you in our next session. Bye-bye now.